No pedicures before birthday meetings.
For tonight's guest speaker. And this guest speaker, his name is Lance T, I believe. And he's from that boating community, well, drinking community with the boating community.
So,
Lance.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, hold on to my phone. Tell me when it's over. That's pretty good. Hi, everybody. My name is Lance, and I'm an alcoholic.
Lance.
And hold on. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere, really. But I was talking to my sponsor on the way over here, and you know, I've had three people tell me this week, and it's actually pretty funny. And when he's on the way over, he goes, "God, I'm really glad you're in my life today," right? And then a few days ago, I had a guy that I sponsor. He goes, "Hey, I'm really glad you're in my life today," and I got like three of them in a row. And I'm going to share something with the new people. That didn't happen a lot before I came into AA. Nobody wanted me around quite so much. And so my sponsor, there's a story, but before I get into that, I want you to know we don't judge in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I'd like to share a little bit about my experience out there when I was using and drinking. And, you know, this is just a summation of the last 2 years that I drank and used, right? And I was in Poway, California, and we were driving in my alcoholic truck. It was a 65 Dodge pickup truck with a push-button dash. I don't know if you guys remember that. But you all know what an alcoholic truck looks like, right? So it was rusted. Things were falling off of it. And I had my partner with me, and I'll call him my partner in crime, but we were heading over to Ramona, California to do some business, right? And and on the way over, the truck caught on fire on the inside. And I didn't want any downtime, so we just kept driving, right? We were patting the dash, you know, our pads, and the flames were going out. But anyway, finally I go, you know what, this isn't going to go out. So we didn't even stop. So I just picked up, and I don't know where this thing came from. It was a canister of CO2, right? So I just opened up, and I just started blasting the dash, right? And it just went all over the inside of the truck. We couldn't see where we were going. Everybody turned white. And and so we drive down into Ramona. Actually, we coasted down because it finally just died. It burned up. And we pulled up in front of this used car lot, and I'm going to go somewhere with this later because it's important. I ended up in the car business 1,000 years later. But I think God's punishing me, but anyway, for this moment. But anyway, we pull into this used car lot, and I get out of the truck. I'm pure white with powder. My buddy's pure white with powder. And the car salesman just looks at it. He just falls down and starts laughing. And I remember I go, well, he goes, "Hey, come on over, guys. I'll get you brushed off. What happened?" I told him what happened, his usual day. And he goes, "Do you want to buy a car?" I said, "Yeah, I want to trade that thing in, right?" And he goes, "No worries." Now, I didn't have any money at that time, nor did I have any credit, nor did I have anything. Not much going on at that time. And I looked at the guy and I said, he goes, "What kind of car do you want?" I go, "I'll take that one." It was a Grand Prix. I'll never forget. It was a 73 Grand Prix. And I go, "I'll take that car." He goes, "That car is $1,800. I go, "I'll take it." He goes, "You got $1,800? I go, "I don't have it with me. I have it at my house. I live in Ramona. I'm about 2 miles from here." And the guy goes, "Yeah, okay." He goes, I go, "Can I test drive it?" He goes, "Sure." He goes, "But you're going to have to give me some kind of deposit." And I said, "All right, well, that's fine." I go, "Why don't I just leave my friend?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, that's safe." I go, "Okay." So anyway, I took off to San Jose. And the reason I share that story is because that was indicative of every single thing that was happening in my life at that time. It was insane. It was insanity, right? And I ended up going up north to San Jose. And my mom was in the bar business for my whole life, and it was great, right? And I got to bartend. She gave me a job when I got up there. Understand, I still have this car, but it's stolen, right? And I remember I got in another little ordeal, and somebody scratched on the hood. I don't know. I think it said, "You owe me $700." And it in the hood. Anyway, things were really going good. And then I came into my went into my mom's bar. This is the last week I drank. And I'm sitting there, and the repo guy comes in, right? About a week later, and he comes up and he goes, "Hey, is that your Grand Prix out there?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Not anymore." He goes, "Give me the key." So I tossed him the key. It was all good. I knew what was going on, right? So he got his car back and everything was fine. Later that night, my mother took me. So my mother passed on about a year and a half ago. She was 42 years sober in this program. And she said, "Hey, I think you have some issues that we need to address." And I said, "Okay." So that's where every superhero ends up, right? On your mother's couch, right? And I was laying there, and I just told her, I'll tell you what was happening. I go, "Mom, you got to look at what I did in the trunk of this car. I'm thinking about patenting this." She goes, "Oh, let's see." So what I'd done is I drilled holes in the trunk of my car, so if you put beer and ice in there, it would just drain out on the ground. I thought it was brilliant. But she looked at me, and she goes, "You know," she goes, "I have some people that I'd like you to meet." She had been sober about 60 days at this point. And she ran me over to this Star Lodge Hospital. It was in Scotts Valley, California. And I remember when I showed up, the guy looked at me and he goes, do you want to stay sober? And but before I got there, my mom said, "Do you know what AA is?" I go, not really. I had never even heard of you people. I never even came about. So as we're driving, I couldn't figure out why. I thought it was AAA. I thought she was taking me to AAA. And I go, "What does AAA have to do with my drug using and my drinking? I don't get it." So she goes, "You know, Lance," she goes, "I'm just going to take over and meet this guy." Went in there, you know, the 20 question test you take if you're an alcoholic. I hit like 19 out of 20. I lied about the 20. Anyway, so he said, "Well," he goes, "we don't really have any beds." I go, "Hey, perfect. I got things I got to do anyway. I'm busy." And and it was that moment where God interacted in my life, right? I just didn't know it was happening at that time, but I'm positive this day it did happen. And I said, I got a couple of transactions, and I'll be back, and I can probably pay my way through this. He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I think we're just going to keep you here. We'll just triple you up in somebody's room or something." He knew where I was, right? And that night, you know, when you go to these places, at least at that time, they had bracelets, right? We had the white bracelets on. So when they would take us out to the meetings, they got everybody in the van, and they took us over to this hospital in Scotts Valley. I can't remember the name of the hospital. Anyway, we go to the hospital. It's in a basement, right? It's like a dungeon, really. And we're all sitting there, and this was my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous, and all these people came in from the outside, just, you know, outside from the camp. And then they opened a back door, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. The back door, and I'm sitting next to a guy who's been sober like a half hour. I go, "Who are these people?" He goes, "Those are the 5150s. And I go, "Well, what does that mean? I know nothing." I go, "What's 5150? He goes, "They're crazy." And then, but a girl walked in the room that got my attention. And I said, "Wow." I go, "I would marry her." And I was dead serious. I got, "This is great." And at the end of the meeting, I remember they said the Lord's Prayer. I go, "Why are we holding hands?" I mean, just, it was all new to me, right? And I remember the guy looked at, this guy, Richard Bermudez, I'll never forget him. He looked at me and he goes, "What do you want from this? What are you doing here?" And I didn't know what I was doing here. And I go, "Well, what I really want to do is be able to drink on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and not drink during the week. That was my goal. I was dead serious." The guy looked at me and goes, "Yeah, we can do that here." And I go, "Perfect. This is great." I was so happy, and I was dead serious. So anyway, spent 30 days in this rehab. Beautiful place. It was nice. They had great instruction for us, and a lot, you know, you had to pick out a sponsor, and they would come in from the outside. And I remember I saw this guy pull up, and I go, "This is perfect." The guy pulls up in a BMW, right? I go, "Maybe he can lend me some money so I can get the hell out of here." That's all I was thinking. True. And he didn't lend me any money. He ended up being my sponsor for the next 15 years, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Anyway, so I get out of the Star Lodge Hospital. I'm driving back in. I'm in San Jose, California. I've heard about this group. It was called the Saturday Night Live group in San Jose, and it was its second meeting in existence. And back then, everybody smoked. You know, there was like more than this. There was like 300 people in the room, and smoke was barreling out of the windows. And I walked in, but what was interesting to me at that time, they were all young, kind of young group, right? It was set up that way, and I was sitting there, and this is another moment in my life where I know God intervened, right? This guy walks up to me, and he says, "Hey," he goes, "would you like to come back here tomorrow?" Well, nobody has asked me to come back tomorrow for a long time, and I thought, and like, you know, I go, "Why would you want me to come back?" It was a valid question, I thought. He goes, "I like you personally," and he goes, "and I'd like to see you come back here," and that's it. I go, "I don't have a car." He goes, "I'll pick you up." Anyway, that was a mistake, too. He started picking me up every night. And so came into the following meeting. The next night, he came and picked me up. And I'll never forget this. This is so it's 300 people. It's Saturday Night Live. Matter of fact, it was who was talking? It was Gene Duffy. I don't know if anybody remember Gene or not, but he was talking. But what was crazy is the guy sitting next to him was my ex-roommate, who was a male stripper. And I looked, and I go, and I didn't know how this was situated. I thought Gene was the president, and he was the vice president. I was just trying to figure out what was going on, you know. And I was trying to figure out how did my male stripper roommate end up being the vice president? That's what I was really interested in knowing. And you can't make this up. Anyway, so at the end of the meeting, I went up to him, and what was really interesting is yesterday he shot me a. You know, we've both been sober a long time. He's been sober longer than I have. He's been sober 42 years, and I was 39. And we still kind of communicate through Facebook, and there's a group of us that from that group that actually still communicate. But it was where we were then was really interesting to where we are today. So fast forward, I you know, the greatest thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is the camaraderie. You know, that is the one thing. You know, the steps is great. I've done it with other people. I've had it done with me. But I can tell you that the camaraderie that goes on here is beyond anything I've ever known. And I'll tell you why I say that. So this man who asked me to come back, he said, "Lance," he goes, he was a postman. He was a postman. And he was telling me his story about how he used to mix up the mail, right? And I was thinking, well, that's pretty bad. He's a government official. He's mixed up the mail. But he goes, "I didn't care." Anyway, so I kind of related to him. We both didn't care about much, right? And we came back into the meeting. And so the next time we came in, a gentleman walked up to him. His name was Mike O'Brien. He ended up being my first sponsor. He died when he was 36, but He came up to me and he said, "Hey, we have a softball team, and we'd like you to play on it," right? And I had played a little bit in high school, and I played a couple of years collegiate ball, and I was pretty good baseball player at that time. And I thought, what is this game? What are you talking about? So this is my first lesson in humility, by the way, too, just FYI. He goes, "We have a team, and we'd like you to come out and play. Have you played?" I told him what I'd done, and he goes, "It's softball." And I go, "Oh, my God, why are we going to play softball?" So anyway, I show up the next day, I walk out, and he goes, "What position do you play?" Right? And I go, "Well, I play shortstop and I play left field." And he goes, "No, I already got a shortstop." And I go, "Not like me." He just looked at me, and he looked at me that way for another 10 years too. But he said, "No, I have a shortstop. His name's Ron Dunn." I go, "Ron Dunn, Ron Dunn." I go, "I know Ron Dunn. Ron Dunn played for the Chicago Cubs." He goes, "Yeah, he's shortstop." I go, "Well, I can play left field. I'm a good left fielder," right? So that was the start of my humility in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm going to tell you something. That group of men that we played softball, and we played Clancy's group. We got to play all over the place. And we killed everybody because we were all 25 years old, right? Everybody we were playing was a group of, you know, 50-year-old guys. And it was pretty easy to beat them. So anyway, that's easy for me to say today. So You know, I'd like to talk about that team for a minute, because each one of those individuals came from a completely different perspective. And I'm going to tell you, I'd like to talk about this team for a second. So the catcher was a Hell's Angel. And here's what he said to me. He took me aside one day, and he goes, hey, he goes, I watched you play baseball. Will you teach me how to play baseball? And I looked at him, and I go, that only happens in Alcoholics Anonymous. It wasn't on a Harley Davidson, right? And I said, sure. I go, you're going to play catcher. And he goes, okay. I go, when somebody rounds third, don't let him touch home plate. He's a big guy. He's like 6'12", right? And he goes, that won't be a problem. So that was the beginning of our team. And our shortstop, Ron Dunn, ended up being one of my closest friends. And if you went around the diamond, there were three professional baseball players that had all been washed out. So it was pretty good group of guys. About half of them are alive today. And the reason I'm bringing that up, if you're new and you're sitting here and you're trying to figure out if this is a good place or a bad place, right? If this is for you or it's not for you, I can promise you this. If you don't think you belong here, there's probably a good chance you do. And if you think you belong here, there's a good chance you do. So you're pretty much in, right? There's no... So half of those guys aren't here anymore. Half of them, you know, drank, used. But half of us are still alive, and we still communicate to this day. And it's 40 years later. And that's the camaraderie of Alcoholics Anonymous. Fast forward. I kept telling my sponsor, I said, I'm not happy, I'm not this. And I got my first part of the big book, right, where they start digging in with the inner sponsors. They dig in a little bit, right? Here's what he did. He goes, you are so self-centered. He goes, it's actually staggering. That's what he told me. And I go, well, nobody else is self-centered? I read it in a book. It says right here. I go, why don't you get rid of it for me? He goes, read the passage. Does it say I'm going to get rid of it? I go, no. It says God is the only one who can get rid of it. He goes, yeah, find him now, right? So I started to do the steps. I started to get into the meat and potatoes of this thing. And I kept telling my sponsor, this is going to sound bad, but it is what it is. You know, I said, I can't find a girlfriend that will stay put, right? I got a bunch of whack jobs. That's what I kept telling him. They're all wacko, man. And he goes, he was a beautiful man. He goes, yeah. He goes, did you ever think about getting better? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, like, change your behavior, right? I go, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. I go, how do I do that? He goes, act better. And I started acting better. I started coming around. I started, you know, one thing I can tell you early on is, you know, and if you're sitting here and you're trying to figure out, should I go to one meeting, two meetings, three meetings? Listen, I went... I think I went to like 300 meetings in 90 days. I was just, I didn't have anything else. I was unemployable. Couldn't have a job. Speaking of that, I'll tell you where else this went. So my sponsor finally hit me with that dirty word. Well, it's time for you to get a job, right? And I go, okay. So I went out and I couldn't get a job. In my trade, because I didn't have all my tools, I was a carpenter at that time and I didn't have anything, right? I had already hawked them all away. I don't have a truck. I got nothing. He goes, hey, I'll let you borrow this truck. It was a Datsun truck. It was ugly. Anyway, he said, I'm going to let you borrow this truck. Go get a job. And the only job I came up with was at Howard Johnson's, right? I don't know if anybody remember Howard Johnson. I was the assistant busboy. So it was riveting, right? And what's even scarier is I got fired, right? And I had to go back and explain to my sponsor why I got fired from being assistant busboy. Right? He just had a look. He just went, what? What? He goes, go get another job. So I got another job. I got a job at a gas station. My job was to keep the other guy awake because we had that late shift, you know. It was a disaster. Anyway, I started getting well. I started doing the steps. The girl that I was referring to that came in as a 5150 through that back door, we started dating. And her father was a car dealer, right? in Santa Cruz, and I started dating her, and it was ironic because I ended up in the car business, right? And I had nothing. Matter of fact, I had to borrow. I went to my mom and I borrowed $200 to get a pair of slacks, a couple of shirts, and some shoes, right? And I had never wore a tie in my life. I don't know what a tie. I don't know how to tie a tie. So my mom showed me how to tie a tie, right? And I went to work, and I've been in the business ever since. I've been in the business, I don't know, 36 years. My partner I have from car dealerships. So it's a long way from there, right? It's a long way from scratching $700 in your car. And so the reason I brought that up is because I went from unemployable to getting well. And then something else miraculous happened. That girl I was always looking for, I met. And she's not one of us. She's one of them. She doesn't understand a thing. And I can prove it to you in just a second. So we started dating. We were on our, I don't know, fifth date. And I knew she was it. I knew she was it. It was one of those. I asked her. I was going to ask her to marry me that night. And she looked at me, and she goes, she knew I was in AA. I had about 5 years. And she goes, wouldn't it be great if you could just have a glass of wine with me? And I looked at her, and you got to understand my wife. She is innocent as the day is long. There's not a mean hair in her body. And I go, I am one drink away from more excitement than you can possibly imagine. And she had a glass of wine. She goes, okay, I'm just not going to drink tonight. So that night she said yes, and I've been married to that woman for 34 years, right? I've been really fortunate. I hear there's so many stories you're hearing about children and how we affect our kids, how we affect each other and our families. I destroyed my family when I was out there. I had just complete disregard, disrespect. I had zero. It wasn't good. It took them about a year to wake up. My family started inviting me back to things. Close. They watched me closely, right? But after about 5 or 6 years, they wanted me to come back, right? And that was a pretty cool thing. And you hear about the kids. So my mom was an alcoholic. My aunt was an alcoholic. My niece is an alcoholic. My brother's an alcoholic. I think I saved my brother's life. I pulled him off the streets into my house. And the reason I brought all that up is because I don't know why I did. They're just a bunch of alcoholics like me. But I think it runs somewhere in the bloodline, right? But they didn't push alcohol down my throat either. Right, I drank my share. So, fast forward, I have two little girls. They're not little anymore. They're 30 and 31. Right, and the reason I brought my two girls up tonight is because when they were born, it changed my life. Right, I started seeing everything completely different. It wasn't, and this is when I really truly believe the self-centeredness we talk about on, you know what page, 61, 62. That little page, it kind of dissipated in because there was something more important than myself. And I started to really get this thing, and I started to really understand how important it was for those two girls not to ever see me do what I saw my family do. My family was chaos. My family drank. It was insanity, right? It was fighting, yelling. It was on, right? They never saw any of it. They saw some of the ism. Make no mistake, Dad's here, right? There's a little bit of that floating around still with me, but all I'm going to tell you is this. You know, there's some miracles that have happened. If you're looking for a miracle, here's one that happened to me, and I know there's more out there for you if you're new. My girls are 31 and 32 years old. They've never seen me drink. They've never seen me use. I've yelled at them a couple of times, but they've never done it. I have a grandson now. I have a granddaughter. Life is good, man. This is not where it started. And if you're sitting here and you're new, I know what you're thinking because it was the same thing I was thinking. I would look at somebody and I'd go, yeah, there was a guy in the front of the room and he had a car and everything and I didn't have anything. All I remember is looking at him and going, God, I wonder if I could get that. And I'm gonna jump back a little bit. My sponsor asked me to write down what I wanted from Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And this is at the very beginning. I said, I just want to get a car that runs. I want an apartment without a roommate. I was tired of roommates. I wanted a job, right, that paid me some money. And I just wanted to be happy, right? That's it. And I was tired of being lonely. I was lonely. And you know, just because you quit drinking doesn't mean that all doesn't fly into here. It does. It comes right with you. And I still felt the same feelings I did when I was out there, when I came into these rooms. And so, long story short, it was about a year later, he pulled that thing out and he goes, "Is this what you were looking for?" If I would have went with what I was thinking, that was my point in this whole thing. If I would have went with my thoughts, my best wishes got me here, right? I took some advice, and I'm going to tell you something else. If you're new tonight, you can trust these people with your life. And that's a big one, because I didn't trust anybody when I walked into these rooms. Nobody. And so the reason I want to say that to you tonight is the same thing the guy said to me 40 years ago, right? He said, "This can work for you just like it worked for me and it's worked for so many others." And I remember going to my sponsor one time. I was about... No, skip that one. That's So 9 years sober, right? And this is where sobriety can go sometimes, and it's not always perfect, right? I remember I was 9 years sober. I had lost a business. I'd lost all my money. I'd lost I kind of checked out from you guys. I was still going to meetings, but I wasn't with you, right? I wasn't in. And I remember my wife came in. She looked at me. She goes, "Hey, I'm out of here." And she goes, "I don't know what happened to you, because you're not the same man I met." And she was absolutely right. It was self-will run night, 9 years sober. Sober. And all I could think about at that time was 9 years sober, and this is what it is? This is what it's all about? I didn't care. I didn't even think about drinking. I was just furious, right? This is the greatest moment of my life. So I walk into a meeting Thursday night. It's a men's meeting. My sponsor's there. I just throw up on him. My little girl said, "You know, Dad, we'll see you later." I mean, it was just bad, right? So I threw up on her. I said, "Hey, John, excuse me. I go, "Listen, I need to figure out what's happening. My wife's leaving. I lost my house. I lost my job. I lost everything." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You lost your perspective." And I'll never forget that. And I go, he was such a piece of work. He goes, "Do you remember when you got here?" I go, "Yeah, John, I remember when I got here." He said, he goes, "Do you remember where you lived?" I go, "Yeah, I didn't have a house." He goes, "No, I was renting a house for you." He goes, "Do you remember your VCR?" I don't know if anybody remembers VCR. I go, "Yeah, I remember." He goes, "You had a tape and a VCR, that's all you owned." He goes, "And you used to have to take the tape next door to the neighbor so they could rewind it so you could watch the same movie over and over again." And I go, yeah. "You know what? I remember that, John." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Dig into the book. Go to 30 meetings in 30 days. Dig in. You lost your way." And that was 9 years sober I did that. And I'm going to tell you something. If there was ever a moment where... Am I getting close here? All right. If there was ever a moment where I thought... You know, and this is going to sound weird. I've never had a desire to drink since I've been here, ever, which is really good, except that moment. And there is a part in our book that talks about, in that moment, you had better be connected to this power. Because if you're not connected to this power, there's a good chance you're going to rocket right out of here. And I don't know about you, but I know it's a lot easier to stay sober than it is to get sober. I've learned that at the very beginning. I had more chips. It was like a casino. I had like 20, 24 hours, 30, 30 days. It wasn't good. And so today, you know, I got a great life. I got a life. I like to tell you it's a life I don't deserve, but that's not. That's not the case. I do deserve it because I did all the work. I did the legwork. I did everything I was supposed to do to get here. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're trying to, and I don't care how long you've been sober, if you do all the right things, you're going to get all the right stuff. And I know this. I chased the mighty dollar before. That doesn't work. I've chased the mighty girl. That really doesn't work. I've chased everything but what's really important. And what I found in these rooms was a power greater than myself that could solve this problem for me. And this problem is me, right? It's me. It's the self-centered person, and it crops up all the time, and I have to be aware of it. And it's easy to get caught up in, I'm this or I'm that. It's so easy to get caught up in it, and I'll tell you something. My sponsor brings me back down to the ground, even to this day. On the way over, he goes, one more thing. He goes, don't lie tonight. yeah, I love that guy. So anyway, I want to thank Greg for having me out here. I'm going to maybe close up with this. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in these rooms is when I'm working with another alcoholic. That seems to get rid of everything that's going on in this brain. When I'm doing that, I can't do the two simultaneously. And if you've been around here for a while or you're just getting started, I would especially if you're just getting started, please get a sponsor. You don't know what you think you know. I came at Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a freaking genius. Okay? I'm telling you, it's 39 years later, I don't know anything. I mean nothing. And I'm serious about that. I know how to do this one day at a time, right? That's it. And we all, it don't matter how much time. And by the way, what an incredible amount of birthdays tonight. That's crazy, yeah. And anyway, I want to thank Greg for having me out, and I'd appreciate everybody on their birthday, and maybe tomorrow when you wake up and you're new in this deal, just come back. We need you here. Thank you very much.